The government is reassuring the community that funding for the National Disability Insurance Service will continue unchanged. The announcement in yesterday's budget was supposed to address concerns over the Treasurer's decision not to raise the Medicare levy. The levy had previously funded the NDIS at an estimated $13.6 billion, although recent estimates suggest the total will be closer to $22 billion. Is the NDIS getting what it needs? Jason Lequier spoke to inclusion expert Simon Darcy from the UTS Business School.
How much does the NDIS currently cost, and what does that money go towards?
The current estimated cost of the NDIS when it's fully rolled out will be $22 billion. Prior to the NDIS, there was approximately $8 billion that were being spent on disability services. So there is an injection of new money that's there to cater for the unmet need that was in the system.
How much extra money has been added?
That's $14 billion that's been put into the system on current estimates.
Okay, so now that we know that the funding is, in inverted commas, secure, what are some of the other announcements around the NDIS that we heard last night?
Well, unfortunately, very little. And it was interesting because last year NDIS was right at the centre of a lot of the discussions around the budget. There were announcements within the space of extra money going into building the workforce that will assist people with disabilities, and that's an estimated 70,000 people over the next few years. So there's a disability workforce fund that's been put in there. And really that was the major announcements. The other announcements that are interdependent and overlapping are around aged care and home and community care, which in effect is similar to disability in the way that the policies are framed, keep people independent in community. And to be quite frank, it's smart by government because institutions have a much higher cost per person to maintain somebody than maintaining somebody in their own home.
Thus the large injection for the carers, the in-home carers.
Yes, that's right. 20,000 new packages identified for high-level support in the aged care area.
Have they boiled that down to how many jobs that will create? How many people will move into the role of assisting, not just in-home care, but also in NDIS generally?
Yes, well, the figure that they're looking at is something like 70,000 new workers required over the next 4 to 5 years. And that's a significant number, and it's putting pressures all over the system with respect to the geography of where you live. Those areas that might have higher costs of living make it very difficult to attract workers that can live in those same areas. If you look at the pay rates for support workers and what's figured into the NDIS, it seems quite high. But when you look at what the care workers get paid, it's less than that, with the agencies and other organisations taking money off the top, very importantly for organisational support and for things like training, etc. as well.
You get the sense that the Treasurer is using the announcement to suggest that everything's smooth sailing when it comes to the NDIS. Finally, now the NDIS is sorted. We've got it sorted. Do you think that's the case?
I think any major social reform will always have challenges. I think one of those challenges was at least partially met last night by saying that it will be funded, and it will always be funded. But from a disability perspective, there's some comfort in that. But not having it locked in with a strategic mechanism like the Medicare levy suggests that politics will always be played in areas where the opposition may see that they can get some leverage. So this time around, we saw that Shorten was supportive, but supportive with conditions. Now, I can tell you a lot in the disability community were a little bit upset by that, because we have bipartisan support, and then the political moves then come into play.
So, Simon, did last night's budget provide any insights into the capacity for people with disabilities to enter the workforce? What kind of economic impacts could it have?
Last night, there was a great deal of talk about income and tax cuts. Now, for many people with disabilities, that just doesn't come into consideration because the employment rates of people with disability are so much lower than the rest of the population. So if we're looking at close to 80% of working age people being employed in Australia, that's 53% for people with disability. However, of that 53% that are employed, they tend to be no, low, or moderate support needs, where the people in the NDIS are high or very high support needs. So within the opportunities that the NDIS present, we would hope we are able to create the opportunity for people to socially participate more, gain skills in either a voluntary capacity or through training or further education, and then with the correct employment policies in place, move a proportion of those people from being lifetime dependent on welfare support into the paid workforce and become taxpayers themselves.
Simon Darcy from the UTS Business School, ending that report by Jason Lequier.